Good morning. Good to be with you guys. Hope that you've had a good week. I want to say hello to the other campuses that are joining us by way of video. There's Springboro, Northmont, Beaver Creek, folks in the chapel, and you, of course, in this room. It's good to be together to worship God and study His Word. So I'm excited for the day. Hey, just a word about David. You probably expected to see David here, and he expected to be here. But he and his family have had a rough week. Kathy went to Knoxville to visit her dad, and in the first couple of days of that, she ended up with pneumonia. Her dad ended up with pneumonia. He went to the hospital. David was stuck at a conference, and so it was just a crazy week. So he's taking care of his family, and this just wasn't the weekend for him to be in the pulpit. So here we go. We're in this series called 24 Hours. It's a great series. We're going to be studying the last 24 hours in Jesus' life. And so much happens. Last week, I think David mentioned that half of the Gospel of John referred to these last 24 hours. And so it's really exciting as we begin to think about all that happened. What we're going to talk about today is a little bit heavy. We're going to look at two of the very dark moments in those 24 hours following the Last Supper, where two betrayals are set in motion. Two friends of Jesus will turn their backs on Him. And so betrayal, you know, when you think about betrayal, does it draw any images to your mind or any stories? For me, I like history. I do a lot of just casual reading about history, and I love to read about the history of the church and how the church grew to the point that it captured the hearts of most of the Roman Empire by the year 300 AD. But a few things happened before that one was an incredible betrayal. Julius Caesar, who became Caesar in 49 AD or BC, he became the Roman dictator for Rome. And so he ruled Rome, and he has gone down in history as one of the great military leaders and civic leaders and all these things. But there's one story about him and how he died that I thought was really interesting, and you may know it, but he had a friend who was a supposed friend, and he was in the Senate, the Roman Senate. His name was Brutus. Do you remember a few words that came from about Brutus? So Brutus was supposed to be Julius Caesar's close friend, and yet he had been plotting against him for over a long period of time. And 5 years after Julius Caesar became the Roman dictator, Brutus and several other senators killed him. They killed Julius Caesar. They stabbed him through with all kinds of daggers. And at one point when this was happening, Julius Caesar looked at Brutus and said, "E tu, Brute?" Meaning, "You too, Brutus?" So he was still holding on to life to be able to recognize that his close friend was stabbing him probably in the chest. And so it's an incredible story of betrayal. And so I ask you, have there been any Brutuses in your life? Has there been anybody that has betrayed you, whom you thought was on your side, but when it came down to it, they were not? They were only pretending. See, I would guess that in a room this size, most of you have experienced some kind of betrayal in your life. There's some way that you've been let down or disappointed by someone. Maybe it's somebody who talked behind your back or said mean or evil things about you. Maybe it's a confidence that somebody wasn't able to keep and they blabbed everything around. Maybe it's a very important relationship that ended in dishonesty and brokenness. Maybe it's just as simple as, you know, you thought you had a close friend, and at some point that friend just started to grow cold and push you away, and that friend was no more. But betrayal happens. It happens because we're fallen people living in a fallen world, and we're imperfect, and it just happens to mostly all of us. If it hasn't happened to you, it likely will at some point. Life is just like that. Somebody's going to disappoint you or hurt you or throw you under the bus. It may not be as dramatic as what we're going to read about today, but it will happen. So betrayal is painful, but here's the good news. Even in betrayal, Jesus means that failures are not final. There can be redemption and restoration, and we're going to see that in the story that we look at today. Jesus is going to teach us, I think, some really important points about how to navigate betrayal. And so if you're in the depth of that kind of pain today, I want you to listen to this story because I think it can encourage you and I think it can give you some wisdom in what you're facing. So let's see what we can learn from two stories of betrayal. We're going to stay in the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to John chapter 13? We'll pick up right there in verse 21, right after what we looked at last week. Here's what it says. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table next to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he is speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him, and Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." No one at the table knew why he said this to him, Judas. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Go buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give some of the money to feed the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he, meaning Judas, immediately went out, and it was night. So betrayal, here's the thing that I think makes betrayal so difficult, is that it's not just an enemy thing, it's a people you love thing, right? Betrayal hurts because it oftentimes comes from somebody that you love, somebody that you expected better from. Let's start with Judas. See, here's the thing we can't forget. Jesus loved Judas. He loved him perfectly, the way he loves you, the way he loves me. Jesus chose him, and he taught him. He washed Judas' feet. Jesus included him. Jesus made Judas the CFO of the disciples, the treasurer of the group. That's a position of trust that Jesus gave to him. I mean, Matthew could have been the treasurer. He was used to handling money. He was a tax collector. He would have been comfortable with that. But Jesus entrusted this key role to Judas. And it wasn't that Jesus was naive or that he was caught off guard. He knew the betrayal was coming. And even though he knew it was coming, he treated Judas with the same love that he treated any of the other disciples. I mean, that is an amazing example of unconditional love, isn't it? Even though Jesus knew what would happen, he was still deeply wounded by it. In verse 21, we read that Jesus was troubled in his spirit. The Greek word for troubled there is terasso, and it means to be in great distress, to be stirred up, to be thrown into confusion. And so those are words that describe Jesus' temperament, his emotions in that moment. He is troubled by what is happening. One of the things I notice about this, and I don't want us to miss it, is how transparent Jesus was to the people around him. He didn't stuff his pain down out of sight or try to hide his hurt. He was visibly troubled, and the other disciples could see it. And when asked, he openly shared why. So I think even that is a lesson for you and for me, that when we're troubled, when we're feeling this kind of hurt and disappointment and betrayal, there are people around us that want to help us, that want to encourage us. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6, Paul said that we're to bear one another's burdens. And by doing that, we'll fulfill the law of Christ. And so Jesus lets his friends in to what he's feeling and what is happening. And so we know the rest of the story, right? Judas left immediately, and he colluded with the chief priests to help them arrest Jesus in the dark of night. So let's add to that Peter's part of the story. Picking it up in verse 33, it says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow. You cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. It will not crow until you have betrayed me three times." I mean, Jesus' pure heart is so on display here in the way that he answers Peter. I mean, I think if it were me, I would have said, "Peter, dude, it won't even be breakfast and you will have denied me three times." But Jesus says it so kindly, almost poetically, that, "Peter, your boldness is misplaced. You're not the person that you think you are." So I want to look for a few minutes about the two types of betrayal. There are two kinds of betrayal in this story. One betrayal is slow and sneaky, and the other betrayal is brutally obvious. Two different kinds of betrayal, but the same pain. Judas's betrayal unfolds over time, over months, and over several years. And so day by day, he sat at the table, ate the meals with Jesus and the disciples, traveled the countryside with him, heard all of the message, the Sermon on the Mount. Judas heard that message. He saw the miracles. He watched people respond to Jesus' love for them. And yet month by month, he seemed to drift farther and farther away. His heart grew colder and harder until finally he found himself able just to sever the cord, to cash in his relationship with Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas had been pretending to be all in, and yet he wasn't. He wasn't. Isn't that a chilling thought? Think about that for a minute, that you can fake devotion to Jesus. Judas faked it. Now the other disciples saw him heading in this direction. You can pretend to be a follower of Jesus. And certainly by the end of Judas's time with Jesus, he was just going through the motions. He was just mouthing devotion to Jesus. And so I began to think about some verses that are equally chilling, that cast some light on what's happened here. Think about Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Jesus says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's chilling. Matthew 7, 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So it's a chilling reminder for all of us that we can go through the motions of faith in Jesus. We can say all the right things, and yet our heart may be very far from him. Peter's betrayal was very different than Judas. Let me build a few contrasts for you. Judas' betrayal simmered and grew over a long period of time. Peter's betrayal happened in a moment, actually in three moments. Judas's betrayal was who he was on the inside. Peter's betrayal was what he did in the moment. Judas's betrayal grew from a flawed character, evil, actually. Peter's betrayal was caused by an underdeveloped faith. Judas's betrayal only hardened him, whereas Peter's betrayal broke him. It broke him. You see the difference between the two? You see, Peter's faith could not sustain the weight of his desire to be loyal to Jesus. His faith just couldn't sustain that desire to be loyal. And so in a moment when it seemed dangerous and he was at risk, his loyalty fell. It fell through. So two types of betrayal, but the same pain. So I know we're talking a lot about Peter and Judas, but this is also a test for Jesus, the betrayal of two of his closest friends. And betrayal in any of our lives is a test. It's a test. Betrayal will test us. How we respond to betrayal will define us. See, in the midst of this swirling pain and confusion, Jesus knowing all that's going to happen, he brings the disciples back to that one thing, that most important idea, the North Star. Love one another. Love one another. In the face of betrayal, love one another is what he told them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, I think the greatest danger in betrayal is that betrayal will change us. It will change us on the inside. The thing about Jesus is he didn't let the betrayal of Peter and Judas change him in any way. He knew that both men would fail him in the coming hours, and yet he didn't become vindictive or cynical or jaded. I mean, on a night where it was all about betrayal and denial, he just said, love one another. See, I want that to be true for me. And I want that to be true for you, that no matter what we face, no matter what hurt we face or disappointment or betrayal, it doesn't change who we are on the inside. That was true for Jesus. I want to point out something else that you can easily skip over. You know, Jesus didn't force his will on Judas or Peter. He simply loved them. He loved them. I mean, Jesus let Judas walk away. I mean, he could have hollered after him, Judas, come back. He could have chased him. He could have grabbed him and warned him, you do not know how this is going to end if you continue. But he didn't do that. He let Judas do what he had purposed in his heart to do. I know it was God's immutable plan that Judas would betray Jesus, and we all know what came next. But there's this human layer. There's this relational layer that stands out to me. Because the same is true with Peter. Jesus foretold Peter's failure, but he didn't stop it. He didn't stop it. He watched from a distance as Peter denied that he even knew Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. Now, I don't know the topography or how this took place, but in Luke 21, verse 61, it says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So if Peter was in the courtyard and perhaps Jesus was on a portico or inside the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, but somehow they were able to lock eyes. And Jesus looked at Peter. And I think there's this ocean of pain that passed between them. Disappointment. Jesus was disappointed in Peter. Peter was disappointed in himself. And verse 62 of Luke 22 says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. This big, strong fisherman, he wept bitterly. I think there's a lesson in that for us. Sometimes the wisest thing we can do in betrayal is to let the betrayer walk away. To love them, but let them go. I think we have enough here, even in what we've looked at thus far, to draw some conclusions. If Jesus is our example, how will we respond to hurt or betrayal? Well, first, I think we'll respond with love. We have to respond with love. That's what Jesus did. That's who he was, and that's who we're to be. We'll respond with love. Love, then, will compel us to forgive. Something about 70 times 7. Our love will compel us to forgive. Thirdly, we'll not allow betrayal to define us. We won't allow hurt and disappointment and betrayal to change who we are on the inside. And lastly, we'll let Jesus stand with us in those moments. It says in Psalm 34 that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So you and I get to determine how we'll respond. And in large part, that will define who we are. Betrayal is messy. Messing up is messy. But grace is always on the table. Grace can turn around even the biggest mess. And we'll see that happen right here in this story. From John 21, verse 15, it says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.'" And so he had this little exchange three different times, maybe for the three times that Peter denied Jesus. "Feed my lambs. Follow me." See, Peter was being brought back in. He was being reconciled. Jesus didn't cancel Peter. He called him back. When Peter thought he was done, when he thought he had washed out and there was no future for him, Jesus invites him back. There's grace to be found. If you've ever betrayed someone or let someone down, you can find grace in Jesus. You can find mercy. You can find forgiveness from God. But mercy and forgiveness from God does not mean that trust can necessarily be rebuilt. The person that you betrayed has to wrestle that through. If your heart's been wounded by someone else's betrayal, you can find grace and you can find healing and perspective, and God can rebuild your self-confidence. Judas was lost. His betrayal was final, and his sad story lives forever. Peter was restored. And he went from denying Jesus to leading the church. You see, your wounds and your failures don't have to define you. They can become part of your story of redemption. And that's what was true for Peter. The rest of his life was a consequence of Jesus extending grace to him. Think about these things. He preached at Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people believed in Jesus and were added to the church. The church was born on that day, and Peter is standing up among all of them and sharing the gospel. He performed miracles. He healed a lame beggar in the book of Acts as he walked to the temple. He called Tabitha back from the dead, just as Jesus had done many times. He confronted the Jewish authorities, the Sanhedrin, and said, "Stop preaching Jesus." And what did Peter say? "I cannot stop. I will not stop." He had the courage to confront them. He broke down Jewish and Gentile barriers. In Acts chapter 10 and 11, we see the story of the vision that Peter was given when he was up on the roof of Cornelius's house, a Gentile, and God had shown him in a vision that there was nothing unclean that God had created. And so Peter was the one to receive that vision, not Paul, whom we often associate with the gospel being taken to Gentiles. It was Peter. Peter was at the council in Acts chapter 15 when they decided that central issue, that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. He wrote 1 and 2 Peter that you and I still turn to in our Bibles and read. He was martyred in Rome. Tradition says that he was crucified upside down because he didn't see himself worthy of being crucified in the same way as Jesus. So no matter what you've done or what's been done to you, grace is still on the table and redemption can be part of your story. But I have to at least suggest this question. Is there somebody in your life that you need to forgive today? Maybe there's a betrayal from many years ago that's still poisoning your heart. Would you allow Jesus to heal you so the betrayal doesn't define you? We're going to be going to the Lord's Supper. What a perfect segue to go to the Lord's Supper after we talk about betrayal. But first, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we bless you and we thank you for the lessons that we can glean from these two stories converging. May the tragedy of Judas's betrayal challenge us in our faith and our sincerity and our love for you. May the sadness of Peter's betrayal challenge our loyalty and our devotion. But may the strength of Jesus' responses give us wisdom as life confronts us, as hurt and disappointment come. May we respond as Jesus did, with truth and grace and unwavering trust in you. And we all say amen.